Joining me now is Rebecca Walzer. Rebecca, thank you for your patience as I run a little behind tonight. Thanks for being with us again.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Let's dive right into the economy. Last year, I stopped using the word, the I word, inflation. I started using the H word, hyperinflation. I'm hearing more and seeing more articles by guys writing about central bank digital currencies and how they will bring hyperinflation. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think that the point is, obviously, we're getting the new CPI numbers tomorrow morning, 8:30. And we do know that they have changed the calculation for that formula, Brandon, again. So this will be the first calculation where the year-over-year index level is set to just a one-year level versus a two-year level. And so if you can imagine, if you set an index for the year to like a benchmark, and this is the benchmark of a basket of goods of prices, and if you compare that 2022 to 2020, because the index was set from a two-year running total, then you're going to see a much bigger number than if you're comparing 2022 to 2021, when we already had inflation in 2021 off of 2022. So it's interesting to me that they're again gaming this system with changing the way we calculate CPI. Anytime we have changes, I always want to go back to the retro 1980s calculation so I can really see like what Volcker was dealing with when he set the Fed funds rate to 20%. And, you know, I really caution everyone to understand that when Volcker was dealing with that, we had about a 30.85, let's call it 31% debt level to our GDP. And we are now in December of 2022, we're at 120 debt to GDP. So the Fed has a lot more narrow room to actually raise. But Brandon, to your point, the reason that we would see hyperinflation with a digital move is because it's a reset. It is a currency reset. And anytime you have a currency reset, you are going to see the inflationary terms that have been built into the old system. You can't avoid seeing it. And as I understand, I think we talked about before on this actual show that we expect people that are on the lower end of the income spectrum to move over dollar for dollar. But we definitely expect people that have higher levels of wealth, a wealth accumulation storage, that is not going to be, this is where they're going to get this reset coming in. And we won't see necessarily a one-to-one relationship, because the whole point of central bank digital currency is really just a payment flow system. It is not a storage of wealth. And so that is what they're getting us to. When you look at Agenda 2030, which, by the way, through a memorandum of understanding between the United Nations and the World Economic Forum in March of 2022, was moved up to 2023 this year. When you look at that memorandum of understanding, what they know is that their plan is that none of us will own anything. Eventually, you're looking at total totalitarianism and complete elimination of private property. They're already doing this, and they've made it very, very far in cars. If you look at GM's commitment to go complete EV, you look at Ford and which direction they're going, of course, Tesla and all of the others that are EV companies to this, from the jump, you'll see what they're trying to do is force everybody into an EV car, which can cause a couple problems. Number one, you guys are just talking about the legacy of railroads and how they're not maintained, and we don't have the budget, even though we can send $100 billion to the Ukraine. We can't maintain our own railroad system in this country that can create a little mini Chernobyl here. But when you look at EV, they know that our electric grid cannot support a country of cars on the electric grid. Look at California, what happened just with the heat wave last summer. They were literally telling people not to charge their cars. So how many memes do we see, Brandon, where you saw an EV car in California being charged by a gas generator? So they are pushing us to EV, knowing that, first of all, a third or more, probably two-thirds of the country can't afford the baseline car. And even if they could, not everybody could possibly buy one, because we do not have the electrical grid to actually charge all these cars. And you see, car equals freedom of movement, and it equals liberty. And so that is one thing they have to eliminate. They absolutely want us to move to 15-minute cities in zones, and private car ownership, private property ownership, eventually has to be targeted. So these are all things that are coming just for that purpose.
Wow. So of course, they're not going to let you know with these new inflation numbers coming out tomorrow, the price of eggs in early 2021 compared now to 2023, because that would show you a massive jump. So you're saying, right, they're just going to do a 2022 to 2023 comparison, which won't show as big a jump in price.
That's exactly right. They have changed the index to be a two-year running index to be a one-year running index. So really, it is just a year-over-year number. And it's always been a year-over-year number, but people didn't understand that the index itself was using 2 years of running numbers for the basket of goods. And so that is going to be a change. You're absolutely right.
And this is where I learned a lot of this from John Williams over at Shadow Stats. You know, if you go back to where they were, how they were doing consumer price indexing in the early 80s, which you've already referenced, you know, you had a basket of goods and they would keep judging that. And then if a family says, steak's gotten too expensive, so they go to chicken. And they didn't count for the fact that the family stopped eating the steak because it got too expensive. They just assumed the family replaced it with chicken and it never went into their figures. That's one example, correct?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A replacement of goods is definitely a factor for sure.
So
substitution is what we call it.
Let's talk about the debt ceiling. How big of a deal is this?
It's so hard, Brandon, because I'm in the middle right now of a big project that I have coming out on my podcast. I have a podcast called Crashes and Taxes.
I didn't know you had a podcast. You never told us that.
You know, it's not something, because I do a lot of media every week. You know, I'm still on mainstream media and I'm on a lot of national media. And so it's not something that I usually talk about because I do tend to be a lot more direct on this podcast, although it's a standard podcast on all of the major channels. And my team and I right now I have a big project coming out. It will be released next week. And the first podcast is a two-part podcast series. The first one is going to be released on Thursday. And the second part is so controversial that we are having to basically open a Telegram channel and a Rumble channel because we are finally piecing together this really unbelievable. When I tell you, this is the greatest piece of work of my life, but I will tell you that in the realm of humanity, Brandon, this is almost unbelievable. And unfortunately, for the people that are engineering this globally, it is now public record. So as a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, obviously. I know you're not a fan of lawyers, but as a lawyer, we're able to get documentation.
I like my lawyers, by the way. I like mine. I have more than one. I have three. An intellectual property attorney, I have a corporate attorney, I have a litigation attorney. I like my three lawyers. And I like you, and I like Dr. Annie Woods. He's a lawyer, and I like Judge Napolitano, and I like John Whitehead and a few others. But yeah, it's a small stable.
It's a small stable. But, you know, we've been able to sort of reverse piece back together with a lot of external sources of documentation. And it is, it speaks to everything. It speaks to what's going on in Ohio. It speaks to absolutely everything.
Can you let us in on a little bit of this?
I wish I could, but it's such a massive thing that it has to be literally formulaically laid out for people to follow. Because if I were just to say it to you, you wouldn't believe me. Like if I were just to say it to you in a paragraph summary, you'd be like, there's no possible way that's true.
Remember who you're talking to.
Well, that's true. And your audience probably believe it too, but it's just unbelievable. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. And this is, I think I've had a lot of things bother me since 2020 and from a legal perspective of how is this happening in this country. And finally, there has been an overarching framework that I have been able to figure out, wow, this is how this has come this far.
Now, when is this going to be released?
This is going to be released a week from Thursday. Okay. So it's a two-part series. The first part is coming out this week. Now, this was just a traditional podcast, although I do go into the complete disruption of humanity and how they expect no one except for 2 billion people to actually have jobs. So it talks about the rise of the machines, liquefied metal that can disassemble and reassemble. The technology is here. It also talks about how Google is about 1 year, maybe not even a year, but let's talk about a year to 2 years from complete disruption, according to the founder of Gmail. And that is simply because of OpenAI and ChatGPT. It shows you the difference between a Google search index versus a ChatGPT, which is artificial intelligence actually communicating with you. It talks about how many of these people have downloaded this ChatGPT, hundreds of millions of downloads, Now this machine learning is in earnest globally, taking everyone's text message, emails, everything that they're writing. This thing is learning so fast, Brandon. And of course, it has the entire database of everything that's ever been digitized in the history of human time. So the first part is about the very beginning of why what part two is happened. But part one is how we have, we really on the edge now of the end of the normal life cycle of education, learn a skill, go perform a job, whether it be a blue collar or white collar job. It's talking about the total disruption of human capital contributing to GDP. And then what is the result of that? And how many organizations and entities knew that this would be the ultimate frontier that we would get to, and what they did about it many decades ago to lay the groundwork to this overarching structure that they put into place to bring us to this point that we are at now.
I just saw this the other night. Let me play this real quick, guys, in the control room. Look at this. Check this out. Talk about AI. Look at this. I mean, this is, thank you for pulling that music down. So, I mean, here he goes. So he goes off to the next point bathroom. I mean, you don't need, I mean, this is just a video I stumbled on this weekend in some research, but you're talking again about the getting rid of, you know, workers, normal workers.
Yeah, and the thing is, Brandon, this is exactly what we expect to kind of be shown. No offense, I love your show, but this is kind of exactly what most Americans pigeonhole AI as and robotization as, is manual labor, blue-collar jobs.
Right.
And actually, if you think about it, I'll just give you a lawyer example, right? We lawyers used to have to go to law libraries and look up keyword terms to find all the case law on cases. And now everything has been so then we would pull up the case law, see what the case law was, and then we'd argue our points and we'd put it into a logical legal framework. Now, if you think about it, every court case pretty much is digitized by, you know, Westlaw or LexisNexis. And so all of this case law has been digitized for AI. So why can't AI now, as a lawyer, say, hey, AI, I would like you to draft up a legal memorandum of what the status is of eminent domain in railroad cases that occurred between 1980 and 2000. I mean, I'm just telling you, it is so much beyond blue collar manual labor jobs. This is a white collar threat. This is a total human capital threat. You're talking about surgeries by computers, microscopically and laparoscopically. You're talking about the end of every possible human knowledge that could not be done better by AI. And it is learning constantly. See, we think, well, I'm getting smarter because I have, like, for example, I have 4 different degrees. But you know what? I could never contain the capacity of all human information that's been digitized since the beginning of time. And that's what AI can do. So it's just not a fair fight.
Wow. Okay. And this, you obviously are hinting that this is somehow going to eventually impact the economics, the stock market. I mean, that's got to be where you're going, right?
I'm saying that the people that have been in the shadows and running the underlying realm of the world, that we see what we see, but there is higher levels that have designed an arc that has prepared us for this time. And it has been unbelievable what they have done. And I think that the American people, when they realize, and this comes out, that you are going to see military tribunals, you're going to see we might see the complete collapse of our government. This is how massive this is, and nobody can talk about it. This is why we have to open up new channels just to get the information out, because we know immediately upon this information coming out that it will be taken down off of, you know, traditional
and,
media channels.
And is this one reason why they're pushing us to World War III so fast? Is this why they're organizing massive, you know, things to distract us all? And nothing would be as distracting as a great world war or bank collapse.
So I think that their initial plan with, I think their initial plan with what happened in 2020 was different than what actually ended up coming to bear. And I think that they thought they would have more years of lockdown and they would have more time before any kind of biologic or pharmaceutical was presented. I think that they expected a lot more small and independent businesses and medium-sized businesses to no longer be economically viable with a multi-year lockdown. And so their plan has not gone exactly according to plan. And so because of that, we are now seeing a lot of other things that are popping off that are getting escalated where you wouldn't see, I mean, a lot of things are connected because this entire arch that I keep referring to, it affects every aspect of human life,
Okay, can you come back
every
next
single
week? Can
aspect.
you come back next week then? Or whenever you can come
I'll come
back?
back next. Yeah, I'll come back next week, but I'll have to do it after the podcast comes out, so
Okay.
you can watch it and we can talk about
Let me know when it
it.
comes out. I'll watch it. We'll have you back on.
Thursday.
In the meantime,
All right.
walzerwealth.com. Walzer Wealth. She is not your traditional financial planner, folks, as you can see. Walzerwealth.com. Rebecca, always great to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brandon.
Rebecca checking in. Check out her site, walzerwealth.com. Also, folks, if you are interested in finding out about more about precious metals, one of our sponsors for 17 years has been Swiss America and Wes Peters. Be sure to just text him your name and address. He'll send you the free packet of information on precious metals, including putting your IRA in gold and the difference between numismatic and bullion. 602-558-8585. 602-558-8585. Also, don't forget to go to mypillow.com. Use the promo code B66. Get the new MyPillow 2.0. But use that promo code B66. Thanks for watching. Take care.